Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Alive and Kicking podcast. My name is Jordan. I'm going to be your host today, and I'm super excited about my guest. We have the amazing Sarah Crowder on the show today. Sarah is going to tell us all about her magical self, but let me give you a quick overview of what she does and who she is. She is not only my beautiful wife, but she is an empath. She's an intuitive. She is a hypnotist who specializes in past life regression and helping people connect to their higher self. She is also a medium who can send and receive messages from the spirit side. And she's going to tell us all about these amazing things and how she got to uncovering and using these magical abilities. So, Sarah, welcome to the Alive and Kicking podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Awesome. Well, that was a quick overview of you. So why don't you give us a little bit more information about yourself? And I guess we can go back in time a little bit because, unfortunately, as seems to be the case with a lot of these spiritual awakenings, they tend to start on kind of a sour note. They tend to kind of spring out of some sort of dark night of the soul period. And from what I understand, you had one of those yourself. So let's begin there and then we'll get to all the fun stuff. Okay.
Absolutely. So I guess that it really probably started the downward, the darkness started. My best friend of more than half of my life passed away very suddenly. But, I found that in her death, because she had a lot of issues and stuff, in this physical world, that I was able to find gratitude for the fact that I was able to speak to her one last time before she did pass and that she was out of her pain. And then fast forward exactly 90 days later, my mom passed away super unexpected and in a really traumatic way. So it was one after the other kind of a thing. We went, we got her car, came back, and we almost had a blowout on the way home. And then it just seemed everything was just kind of spiraling out of control. But I was doing my best to find gratitude in each of those moments. Not even because I kind of had a negative outlook on a lot of things at the time, but I just knew that if I held on to the few things to be grateful for in those moments, that it would help me to make it through, essentially. And then my grandmother passed away, and then you got sick, and it was holy crap, we're not gonna do this. I had so much loss, three significant people in my life in less than a year. And I was just no, you're not also going to claim my husband as well. It was really significant. You got hospitalized on my mom's birthday. It was just, there were so many weird signs that were happening at the time, but I was just finding gratitude in each one of the moments. Anyways, alcohol was a big part of your story, and I knew that the only way that you weren't going to follow along with the other people in my life was if we started focusing on healing. So it was really crazy, but I went on a walk one day and I was at work at the time at my job, and I walked over to go and do a daily thing that I did for work each day. And my friend just stopped me and she was like, "Hey, how's everything going?" And I kind of broke down and I was like, "Oh, not good at all." And she was like, "Why don't you take control of what you have the ability to take control of?" I don't think even Kat breaks me up. Sorry. To this day, I still send her a thank you note every single year on the anniversary of that day, because I don't think she understands how much of a game changer that conversation was. But I was okay, if I don't want for this to be our story, this is not what I want for my story to be, all this loss and then ultimately losing my husband to alcoholism and stuff, then I am going to make a change. And that day I decided not to drink. And it was the first day as much as like you were like an alcoholic, like I drink alongside you. And that was the first day that like I refused to drink alongside you. And I remember you were a little disappointed, but I was just like, this is just, I'm going to go 30 days. You know, I was like 30 days without alcohol and we're going to see what happens. And it took you 4 more days, but you jumped on board too. And it just felt like everything was going to be okay. Like it felt like things were still super out of control, but it felt like for the first time that like in the back of my mind, there was like, there's knowing that it was going to be okay. And we like cleaned up our diet, totally changed like our whole entire lifestyle, like overnight, seriously, in like less than 2 weeks. And I remember people were asking me like, what are you doing? You're glowing. And I was like, I don't even know. You know, I was just like, I'm just like gratitude every day for every single day that, you know, I have here with you and in this like life and everything. And then I was at work one day and we got the message that we were losing our house. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, you know, it felt like that whole like, what else can go wrong kind of a thing, you know? And I remember thinking at the time, because you had been in the hospital and everything, and we had the German Shepherd and we had the yard to take care of. And I was just like manifesting in my mind a condo so that I wouldn't have to be stressed about yard work and stuff. Because whenever you were hospitalized, it stressed me out, you know, running a coffee shop, doing all this other stuff. And then I've also got to worry about all these, you know, household things that were normally your thing. So it was just kind of crazy. And then the same friend of mine that like challenged me to quit drinking, essentially, you know, like to take control of my life, all just very casually was like, oh, hey, I have a condo. If you guys want to come and look at it, you guys can, you know, stay in it if you'd like. And I was like, are you kidding? And it, you know, is this beautiful 4-bedroom, 3-bath, like amazing condo. It's not like it's very nice condo. So anyways, we moved in here Valentine's Day weekend of 2020. And I remember the feeling of like, you can't heal where you got sick. And I remember thinking that like, as much as it sucked to get kicked out of our house and that kind of stuff, that like, this was like a turning moment, like a turning page moment, that like things were going to go in a brighter direction. And then COVID.
Then the world started to fall apart. But our world was getting put back together. How funny is that? Yeah, I mean, there's so many great nuggets in there, Sarah, of how you know, life happens, okay? Everyone's life is crazy. There's nothing you can do about it. We're here to learn and to grow and to challenge ourselves. And it's just like an obstacle course, okay? So you have to get that through your head, everybody. Life is going to be crazy. No matter how good of a person you are, it's going to be crazy. What you learned through this craziness is that you can control certain things, and that what you should do is focus on the things that you can control and don't focus on the things that you can't control, because that'll just drive you crazy. So even though you had your best friend pass away, your mother pass away, your grandmother pass away, and then your husband inches away from passing away, you didn't spiral out of control. Instead, you spiraled into control. You started saying, hey, okay, what can I take control over? You could take control over your drinking habits, your eating habits, your exercise habits, your thoughts, your beliefs, your daily behaviors. All of those things you could take control over. And guess what? You did. You took control over all that stuff. And you were a huge inspiration for me. And you led the way. I mean, you're the reason. I mean, I was like trying to get sober, right? Because I just got out of the hospital and I was like, you know, I'm like, I have to heal. But it was a disease. You know, I've been alcoholic for a very long time. So it wasn't just like you flip a switch. So I needed you to begin and to lead me, you know, and that's exactly what you did. And it was perfect timing. We learned a ton through all that. I wish life didn't have to be so cruel sometimes to teach us these lessons, but it's effective. And, you know, like I love stoicism, you know that, and I study ancient philosophy, and the Stoics always teach you that, is that it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to what happens to you. And you're a prime example of that. And And through all of that darkness and kind of hopelessness, you maintained hope and you maintained light and you kind of weathered the storm, you know? And then as soon as it passed, you were stronger and better off for it. And, you know, I just think that that's an amazing lesson for everybody out there is, you know, don't beat yourself up when bad things happen. Don't think, what did I do to deserve this? Why is God punishing me? All these kinds of things. Think about it as, these are lessons. What is this lesson here to teach me? How can I learn from this and move forward better? And that's exactly what you did. But at that time, we didn't have this mindset. So it was almost like it was intuitive. It was just, it was inside of you. And you were listening to that voice when your friend stopped you on the street, that chance conversation, you listened to that. And then you took action. So that's what people need to also realize is that, you know, sometimes these little life-changing moments, like that talk with you know, our current landlord and one of your friends was just a random moment on the side of the street, right? It wasn't like some big, profound, you know, sit-down intervention-style thing. You were just walking by. She was walking by. You say, hey, what's going on? She's like, oh, I'm reading this book. You know, she told you about the book. And in that conversation, she dropped just a couple little sentences that she doesn't even remember that completely changed your life and my life. And she's still to this day, you always call her and you say, thank you so much. And she's like, I don't even know what you're thanking me for, but you're welcome. So you have to like pay attention to those chance encounters because you never know what can come from it. And then whenever you do get that inspiration, you got to take action. And that's what you did.
I think that like through all that, even though I didn't realize it, like the gratitude, those like finding the light in the darkest of moments, you know, those little things to be grateful for. I think that, I mean, that's what they say is that like if the universe gives you things and you show gratitude, then you're going to attract more, right? So I think the gratitude was a big part of it as well. But then once we got into the condo and like the world shut down, we started, I mean, I just remember going into double time with like your healing because I was so, we didn't know what we know today, right? But like it was that whole like comorbidities and that kind of stuff. And you had pancreatitis at the time. So I was just like, we just have to do everything that we can to be as healthy as possible. We went on like 3, 4, 5 walks a day. We did forest bathing. We did meditation. We did agape, you know, infusing like love and Reiki into every meal, everything with 100% intention, just as much intention as humanly possible in everything that I did, including like I even went through a period of like not saying any curse words and like having no negative thoughts and all that kind of stuff, just bringing in as much positivity and gratitude and love and light into our household as possible during that time. And then I remember that there was a day in summer of 2020, and I was in the kitchen and I would do my like housework in the kitchen, like washing the dishes and washing the vegetables and all that kind of stuff for dinner and everything, and put like meditation in my ears. And it's kind of like a meditative thing for me, regardless of if I have like a meditation going on. But there was one day whenever I was just sitting there and or I was standing there doing the dishes, I remember I heard the word light worker, and it was like a person in the room said it, but I had my headphone in, you know, and I was like, huh, that was weird. And I just kept on washing dishes. And then like right behind me, like right here, and I only had one headphone in at the time, so the ear that didn't have one in, it felt like someone was standing directly there and like shouted light worker into my ear, like this lightning bolt like effect happened like from my solar plexus and like reverberated out. Like I had to turn off the water and go and sit down. I turned around really fast, so I really thought that somebody was there. It was not something that you could ignore at that point. So I went and I sit down and I was like, okay, like I've never even heard this word. It just shows you like how much everything has changed. But I had never heard the word in 2020. And I sat down and I started Googling and I found like this article. And I was like, wow, like this really describes everything that we're going through and everything, like, you know, a couple of my friends that I had just gotten really close to and that kind of stuff. And I like really identified with it. And I sent some messages to some of my enlightened friends and asked them, you know, hey, do you know what this means? And we're all like, no, I've heard that word before. And just shows you again, like, how far we've all come, because it's such a, like, mainstream word now. But then it really wasn't.
This was just 4 years ago. This wasn't like when we were kids, you know.
Yeah, right? Kind of crazy. But so I remember I asked my friend Stacy, and she said, well, I don't know. She was like, but I have this intuitive friend, Chris Nell. You should reach out to her. Maybe she can put you in contact with whatever would be the best tools for you to help, you know, on the next step. And a hurricane came through our area. It was not like a huge hurricane or anything, but it did flood our region. So like I had a meeting set up to meet with Chris Nell, but we got flooded and we weren't able to leave the house. So I didn't get to actually meet with her. So she sent me a message and she was like, oh, you need to just like follow this friend of mine, Amy, on Instagram. She has this great program called Earth Tenders. It's a great place to start because it's kind of like touching on a whole lot of different intuitive tools, right? I don't know what you would call like spiritual tools.
She basically takes all of the like spiritual goodies that we've been learning and playing with, and she applies them to like the earth, you know, communicating with the earth and talking to the elementals and healing the earth and getting messages from the earth and all the fun stuff, but having to do with nature.
Well, and she also teaches you, like, through Earth Tenders Academy, you kind of touch on a little bit of all of it, just like channeling and mediumship and that kind of stuff, to see what resonates with you, right? What tool are you going to use to tune in to the earth, right? So I started following Amy, and Chris Nell moved to Asheville, so I didn't actually get to meet her at the time. And this was in the fall of 2020. And anyways, I remember that there was a night I had already gone to bed and I was just watching some stories of Amy's, and she was talking about working with the land and that the land had asked her to bring out some crystals and build a little crystal grid and to leave the crystals overnight. And one of the crystals that she mentioned, I had never heard of at the time. It was called fulgurite. She described how it was made by when lightning hits the earth and crystallizes the ground, and how it's like really mystical crystal, and that if you're meant to have it, it will find you in its own way. So I sent her a message instantly, and I was like, what is that crystal? Where did you get it? Where can I get one? She was like, oh, I got it from this place, but when they do their teachings, they close their shop. So if the shop isn't open, just give it a week or two and it'll be back up. And I was like, okay. So I clicked on the link and the shop was down. And that was like 10:30 or so at night. I was already in bed. I was like, okay, we'll put a pin in that and I'll check it again in a couple weeks. And I went ahead and went to sleep. And after I went to sleep, you had stayed up to work. And you were listening to an episode of Joe Rogan at the time that was with, I think, Walter Russell?
Travis Walton.
No, Travis Walton. Sorry. And he's Wellsburg. Anyway.
He's been dead for 100 years. So that would have been an amazing episode. But Travis Walton, yeah. And they were talking about Travis Walton's, you know, he's one of the most famous UFO abductees of all time. And they were talking about his UFO abduction case. But just this little part in there, he was talking about how he was at a UFO convention, and he was talking to one of the vendors, and there was a vendor lady there selling crystals, and she had this crystal, that was fulgurite. It was a big thing of fulgurite, and he was like, whoa, what is this? And she was talking about how, you know, like you said, it's a crystal that's made when the earth gets struck by lightning, and it crystallizes the sand or the dirt or the soil, and it's really amazing. It's super amazing. And she was talking about how the place that he got abducted from has the second most lightning strikes, like, just on average, than any place. I guess, I think the Everglades. The Everglades is number one. And this place, I think it's in Arizona where he was abducted, is actually the second most concentrated lightning strikes in America. And so she was like, I wonder if that has anything to do with you being abducted. And so they were talking about that. You know, that's how fulgurite came up in the episode. And the reason, like, I was working and I was just listening to it. But the reason why I stopped is because at a certain point, Joe Rogan goes, whoa, and he, like, exclaimed. And he's pretty laid back dude. I mean, he's hyper, but like it's rare that he gets his mind blown, because, you know, so many crazy things happen on a show. But he was like really freaking out. He's like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I stopped what I was doing and I pulled up the video and to see what he was looking at. And they were showing this big picture of fulgurite. Like, I was on a beach and the lightning struck the beach and it turned into this big crystal. And it was really amazing, of like the sand exploding and crystallizing in midair. And he was freaking out and Travis Walton was freaking out. And then I started freaking out. So I immediately, because I saw it, I was like, this is so cool. I stopped everything I was doing. And I went online and I started shopping for fulgurite. And at this point in my life, I was an anti-crystal. I was very skeptical about all this stuff, right? And I was like, ah, woo-woo, hippy-dippy stuff. You know, it doesn't work. Who cares? So I was never really into any of this stuff. But I was like, this is so cool. So I stopped what I was doing. I found some fulgurite. I spent way too much money on it and just ordered a piece that night. And then I'll let you finish the story. But that was very out of character for me. You know, the next part of the story is pretty funny.
So then the next morning, I get up and I do my meditation in the morning and all my stuff. And then you wake up and I'm like, oh man, I got to tell you about this really cool crystal. I have to order a piece, but the shop is shut down. So I need to find someplace else to order it from, or you know, I'm going to order it in a couple weeks. And you were like, oh, that's funny. You were like, I ordered you a crystal last night. And I was like, what did you get? And you were like, oh, it's called fulgurite. I was like, holy crap. It was literally the same night. Like, so I had literally gone to sleep saying, I'm going to buy some as soon as I can. And you purchased it overnight while I was sleeping. And they say that if you're meant to have it, that it will find its way to you. So obviously I was meant to have a piece of fulgurite.
Isn't it behind you on the shelf? Can you show it to the camera? Because it's not a huge crystal, but it's very, very powerful. It's a great manifester. It holds a lot of energy. So that is what happens when lightning strikes the earth and it crystallizes the sand or the soil. And it's really neat. It's very lightweight, but you can feel the energy when you hold it. It's a great one.
Yeah.
So that's this is kind of like the universe is like messing with us at this point. It's like it's trying to get us to understand that there's more than this physical world, there's more than physical reality, that there's all this magic out there. But we were like, you were further along in your kind of understanding of this, you know, you were embracing a lot of these, you know, kind of synchronicities and magical aspects of life. I was still very skeptical, but each time this stuff happened, it was making me less and less skeptical. And it was proving to me, you know, that I do need to embrace this magical side. And you had been laying it on thick with me for a long time. You know, Jordan, you know, magic is real and, you know, synchronicity is happening and manifestation is real. And you can, you know, do this, you know, and I'm like, okay, that, you know, but I need proof, you know, and we're getting proof more and more every day by these things happening like this. And that was a big one because it was just very, I mean, you could call it random, you can call it a coincidence, you can call it whatever you want, but like, you know, you basically manifested that. And for that crystal to come to you, I needed to listen to that show. I needed to drop everything I was doing. I needed to buy it. And all those things needed to happen for you to get that crystal. And it all happened. So whether it was us working together for the same common goal just through like non-physical spiritual means, or you manifested it and your manifestation powers are so strong, it forced me to do something I would never thought of to do, which is spend hundreds of dollars on a piece of dirt. But, you know, it happened. So, you know, at the end of the day, it happened and it just opened your mind a little bit. It makes you think, okay, I don't know exactly what led to this, but something, you know, happened. And it is all exciting. And it just kept snowballing from there.
Yeah. And then I guess from there was basically when we got the studio, like we got the feeling that we were supposed to have a physical space. We were looking for actually like a smoothie bar or some sort of like a health-minded co-op working space where we live.
And we live at the beach in this really beautiful tourist town, and you had just left. You were running one of the biggest coffee shops around, and we were getting very healthy. We had both lost like, you know, significant weight. I think you ended up losing like 40 pounds and I lost like 60 pounds. So people were taking notice saying, hey, what are you guys doing? We were sharing all the pictures of your amazing food. So everyone was encouraging us to open a restaurant of some sort, but we really didn't want to. But we knew we needed to do something to help the community and to further our kind of spiritual awakening here. On one of our walks, there just happened to be right around the corner from our house on the way to the beach, there was a sign saying for lease. And we're like, hey, you know, that's not what we had in mind, but let's go in and check it out. And then it worked out beautifully. Then we ended up opening up Alive and Kicking, which was a basically a meditation studio, like a metaphysical meditation studio. And that's when things really got interesting.
It was magic from day one, like from even like us signing the lease and the landlord saying that he thought that we were meant to have the space, and the key having the shooting stars on it. And it was just like all these little, again, like little synchronicities, like lining up, that it just felt like it was exactly what we were supposed to be doing. And the studio was really just like this, like, super expander for both of us as far as like our like spiritual learning and that kind of stuff, because we had the opportunity to have like all these different amazing healers, facilitators come in and experience all of their different gifts. You know, we had different sound baths, we had breath work, we had hypnosis, we had, I mean, everything. Yoga. I mean, it was a very magical space, and a whole lot of crazy stuff happened. But I remember when we first got it, I said to you, you know, wouldn't it be so crazy if Amy came down here and did a workshop? And you were kind of like, why would Amy come here? Because she lived in Montana at the time, so you're talking about across the country. And I was like, well, why wouldn't she? We live in a beautiful place, and you know, I just believe, you know. Sure enough, 10 months later, she was in our studio doing her first time of doing her tenders live. And it was a groundbreaking weekend for me. Really was like, I don't even know how to describe it. Besides, like, you know, like whenever you go to a convention and you get a chance to try a whole bunch of different things at the different booths, and you're like, ooh, I definitely want to do more of that, you know, or, oh, that didn't resonate so much with me. So the way that Earth Tenders work, but it's a bunch of different modalities like that. And I remember that was the first time that I channeled a message like from a deceased person that I knew. And it was like such a real experience. Like, I through my whole life had seen spirits and had like smelled things that weren't there and had always like felt the presence of like past loved ones and stuff, but this was the first time that it was like a complete random person contacting me to deliver a message to somebody that I knew, and it was wild. And
and it was very specific, and it was not vague. It was, you knew the person delivering it. You knew the person that needed to hear the message that it was intended for, and you were given like pretty exact message and pretty exact instructions. You know, this was not like your imagination. This was all very, very real. And I remember it was so new to you. You didn't want to reach out to the person because you hadn't talked to this other person in many years, and well, you're like, yeah, You're like, how do I do this without sounding crazy? Like, I'm just going to call this person up after decades of not talking and say, hey, I have a message from somebody that we grew up with who, you know,
well,
took.
And another layer there, like, you know, I grew up in North Arkansas. So like I knew this person from church. So it was like, I had this fear of saying, hey, your past loved one contacted me to deliver a message to you. I haven't talked to you in 20 some odd years. I know you're religious, so you probably don't believe in any of this. So it really, it took me 6 months to send her the message. Like, it took me a while to overcome my own personal fear of like judgment, essentially, right? To be able to deliver that message. But when I did deliver it, it was timed perfectly. It was exactly when she needed it, but it just verified 100%, because whenever I delivered the message to her, she knew exactly what I was talking about. She knew exactly what he was talking about. And it was like really eye-opening for me that like this really, really, really is happening to me, like for me, you know, through me.
Through you.
Yeah. Like, it was pretty wild. You know,
if you think about it, that message not only changed your life because it made you realize that, oh my God, like this message I got was real, you know, that I'm not just making this up or imagining it. This was a real message delivered with specific intent. And then when you delivered it to the other person, it changed their life too. So your life changed, her life changed, you know, and then I would imagine the spirit who delivered the message to you could finally like check that one off their list, because it sounds like for a while they were trying to get this message through. And so you're talking about three lives that were changed by this one message. And real quick, just to rewind a little bit, like you being able to host Amy in your studio, like that's very significant, because this was something you had dreamed about for a very long time. You didn't know how you were going to make all this happen. We ended up getting the studio, and we had a build it and they'll come mentality. Like, we didn't really know what we were doing. You know, our motto for the place was a cool place to do weird shit. Like, that was, it was very vague, because we didn't really know what we were doing. We just wanted to be able to experiment and try. We were just like having fun and just experimenting with the universe and inviting other people to do it with us. And we just had this build it and they'll come mentality. And we said, okay, the right people will come. And we became a magnet for all these magical people. But you, inside your head, you were like, okay, all these people are amazing and I love them all, but I really want Amy to come here. And it happened in this natural way. It allowed you to have this one-on-one. You were able to participate in this amazing Earth Tenders Academy, you know, retreat and host it. So you get like VIP, you know, access, and you were able to try out all these modalities and realize, oh my God, like this is the one. And I know you had many breakthroughs on different modalities, but this one, like being a medium and mediumship and being able to, you know, communicate, you basically put on your open sign, your light for the spirit world, and then spirits in the spirit world that are looking for a physical, you know, person to give a message to, they're looking for that open sign. And when you put that open sign on, they come and they connect with you. But you have to be able to facilitate that connection. You have to be able to communicate. And then you have to be able to take that message and articulate it in the right way to the right person at the right time. And so it is an art, you know, and you were able to like discover all this in real time. But it's only because you took the plunge, you created the studio, and then you followed through with manifesting, you know, and drawing Amy in. And then you took more action by spending every day doing the Earth Tenders Academy. And then by, you know, actually getting this message and then delivering it. So you took action every step of the way, you know, and it changed your life and it changed someone else's life.
Yeah. And one of the other like hugely significant things that happened with that weekend, there was one person that came from New Orleans that was actually late to the retreat coming, and she brought a book with her, and she set the book down, and she was like, on the lunch break, she was like, you guys should really read this book. She's like, I'm only like a few chapters in, but it's just amazing. And it was Sarah Bressman Cosme's book, Hypnosis Journey to Atlantis. And I remember I was like, oh my gosh, like I watched a Gaia interview last night, the night before, and it was Regina Meredith and Sarah Cosme speaking about this book. So I was like, okay, like that can't be a coincidence either. So I need to get this book and I need to read on this book. So I read that book and I did Earth Tenders Academy, and then like I just had this like download and just was able to start connecting people to their higher self in this particular way that I can't even explain. Like, I'm working it down, like I'm getting it down on paper, but it's just completely an intuitive thing that just started happening. And I started doing the crystal readings, and it was like blowing my mind every time these people would come in, like the messages that I was able to deliver to them. Like it got to the point where I could write it down. Like I could like connect before they came, get a message for them, like get a message about like what they were struggling with, document that, put it away, and then let them have their session, and then could pull it out and say, this is exactly what your higher self said you were going to come here and ask for help. So it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, you did a crystal reading on me and I was blown away by it. And it's really cool how you were able, I mean, you were always into crystals, you know, and you had to carry them around with you, and you had different crystals for different things. And you know, I always just thought they were pretty rocks, you know, because they are. But, you know, you knew that they were much more than that. And the way that you were able to use them to channel information is just incredible. So that was really cool, because eventually we did close down the studio, and you started doing this just from the house, and you still do it today. And you're actually, you know, working on refining it and turning it into something even more scalable and special that more people can use. So everybody be looking for for that coming from Sarah soon, because it's really exciting stuff. Yeah, so at this point, you're just sort of like playing around with things. You're experimenting. You're seeing what works better, what doesn't, what resonates with you. And you're finding these things that are working, and they're working very, very effectively and efficiently. All right, so through this, you know, you were introduced to this amazing person named Sarah Breskman Cosme. You know, her book was just following us around at Earth Tenders Academy. We kept seeing it pop up in different places. You had just seen her on the Gina Meredith show the night before, so you knew there was some connection there. You immediately ordered the book, and, you know, now, fast forward, you're really good friends with Sarah. She was on the show last week, so if y'all missed that episode, go check it out. But at this point in our journey, you know, the studio, as much fun as it was and as much magic as it was producing, it wasn't producing the dollars that we needed. So we decided to, unfortunately, close down the studio, which we hope to reopen here pretty soon now that we're in a different situation. But at the time, it made sense to close it down, and we started our marketing business to try to get some more dollars in the bank account. And then, you know, you kind of transitioned from all the things you're doing at the studio into, you know, still discovering these abilities and nurturing them and experimenting and exploring just in a different way. So why don't you tell us what happened next in your journey?
So after that, I pretty much was still doing like intuitive readings and that kind of stuff with folks, but was focused on our marketing company more so than anything. And we had a new client that came on board, and we did a little staycation at their property, and I took like all my cards and crystals and all that stuff, and I was like, okay, like I'm gonna tune in this weekend and I'm just gonna try to get some messages for us, kind of a thing, like what is the next step in the path, you know. And I remember I watched a video from JK Ultra, and she talked about how she first got her TikTok started, and that it was like back whenever they were doing the TikTok challenges, and it was like the dance challenges and all that kind of stuff. And she was like, I'm not really into that stuff, but I'll do a 30-day challenge with my friends that's just posting what interests me. So I had been like trying to get you to do that same sort of thing for years, and it never really resonated with you. But this weekend I did that. I watched that video and I got the idea. I was like, I'm going to challenge Jordan to do a 30-day TikTok challenge and just see what happens. If nothing comes of it, no big deal, you know, but maybe he'll find an audience, you know, who knows? And then I did a past life regression and experience. Past life that has like continued to follow me. Like every time I do a past life regression, just about this life keeps coming up. There's messages from it continuously. So it was a pretty, you know, like significant weekend, because now we know that Jordan's TikTok has grown to, what is it now? Like almost 300,000 followers.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, I never thought I would be on TikTok to begin with, but let alone have a bunch of people following me on there. So thank you guys. But that's all because of you challenging me and always, you know, trying to make me a better person. So,
well, I think of her listening to my intuition, just like listening to what the guides and stuff were leading me towards, and then just following the nudge. So you started that, and I think you got like 10,000 followers in the first 30 days or something like that. You had a pretty significant bump right away. That's the only reason why you like really stayed with it, was because you started getting like traction right away.
Yeah, there's like three viral, because you challenged me to do a video every day. And when you do a video every day, kind of a law of averages, you know, you have more opportunity for one to pop off. And I had like three videos go viral in the first couple weeks, and like millions of views right out of the gates. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So that definitely helped to fuel the motivation. But it's also because, you know, that challenge that you gave me was to stay consistent. You know, you're talking about a video every single day, you know, for 30 days. That's consistency. So you find out that most goals in life are just due to hard work and consistency. It's not getting lucky. So if you do anything every single day for 30 days, you're going to see results. And, you know, I saw results, and a few of them, you know, went kind of crazy. But that's because at that time in our life was crazy. Our life was full of magic. And things were just happening so like rapidly. I had so much content to play with. You know, it was pretty easy to create a video every day. I mean, I could have done 10 videos a day. And because our life was just, it was a lot of fun. It still is. But this was at the beginning of that.
So then not too long after that, I think it was probably within 30, 45 days of you starting the TikTok channel, we were going for a sunset walk. And I was telling you how I really wanted to go to Sarah's retreat in the Keys, but that I didn't want to go alone. And you really didn't resonate with it. So you weren't really interested in going, but you were like, I mean, I'll go with you. I just don't really have an interest to like attend the workshop, but like I wanted someone to go and experience the magic with me. And we were talking about it and we came back and I was telling you about a book that I was reading called Messengers, and it was about owls being messengers. And we were walking back up from sunset and we live at the beach, and this owl like flew right over us and like landed on this roof that was a metal roof, like really dramatically, and like its nails like scraped down. It was, you could not ignore.
Yeah. And it was a big owl.
Yeah. And like it landed right in front of us. And I was like, and like the message that I got in that moment was, hey, if you want to do something, you're going to have to just go do it. And who's meant to be there with you will follow. And so I went home and I signed up for that retreat that was in January. And I was like, okay, like, whatever is meant to happen will happen. And that was in September. And I told my girlfriend about it, Kathy, and she was like, oh, well, I'll go with you. And I was like, okay, thank God I have somebody to go with me. And then she told her husband about it, like basically telling him, hey, we're taking a girls' weekend. And he was like, I wanted to go, you know, like he was, I think he had just had a Akashic record reading, and the lady had told him that he was supposed to do a past life regression. So whenever he found out this was a whole weekend on past life regression, he was like, I have to be there. So then whenever Kathy and her husband signed up, then I was like, oh, okay, well now you have to attend with me. And it was meant to be the four of us there together. And so I bought you a ticket, and it was the last ticket that was available. And
it's not that I didn't want to go. I was focused on the marketing business at the time. So I remember telling you, I was like, well, I'll go and just, I'll shoot it. You know, I'll capture it and I'll do the video and everything. And so that was going to be my contribution. But this was still early in my journey. So I still thought a lot of this stuff was woo-woo, was not real, was you know, waste of time. And that was my mentality at the time. And obviously now I'm a completely different person in just a couple short years. But you know, going into it, I was focused on the business that we were starting and forming, and the business was rocking at the time. And I remember we were kind of drowning, and I was like, I gotta do this. But my lesson there was always make time for these things, because this is what's important. The business isn't important. This is important. And it turned out to be an amazing road trip. You know, we all carpooled down there with our friends, and it was an amazing weekend, amazing week. And we had a ton of fun and a bunch of magic things happened.
But so with that, the owl landing and me going home and signing up for the retreat, and then all the things that happened like right afterwards, like the message that I got was, sign up for it and who's meant to go will follow. And I just took that in that moment as like, we had really wanted to do some traveling and then the whole world shut down. So like, it was like, okay, this is our chance now, is to like restart all this travel and that kind of stuff. And I just told you then, I was like, I think that we're supposed to, like, I think that there's like some things that we're supposed to go and do. And I want to take this next year to like, just follow those little nudges and like go where I feel like intuitively led to go. So I remember I signed up for the retreat, and then I signed you up at the end of October. And then I was like, hey, there's this thing called Stairway to the Stars. It's in Vegas. It's going to be on 11/11. I think we're supposed to go to that. And I wasn't real sure about going because I had just finished like my big health protocol reset, and I was really anxious to fly. It was the first time for us to fly without alcohol, and going to Vegas as a sober person and energy in Vegas. And I was just like, but like everything in me said, you're supposed to go there. You're supposed to be there. So like,
you had worked really hard earlier in that year, that summer, when we had a big road trip for one of our clients that was in Texas, and we made a stop in New Orleans, and we found out later this is what happened. But at the time you weren't sure what was happening, but you had some sort of a spiritual attack in New Orleans, which was very dramatic. I mean, to the point where I mean, we didn't know what was going on, but we knew something was going on. Like, you thought you were having a heart attack. It was that intense. And come to find out after you, you know, doing some sessions and connecting with your higher self and finding out what happened, that it was a spiritual attack and that it left you reeling. And you spent months after that restoring your health and doing spiritual work, doing energy work, doing shadow work, doing a lot of physical healing. Did a gut reset protocol with your friend Kathy, who specializes in the gut microbiome. And you had to do a ton of work and heal after that spiritual attack. And the trip to Vegas was sort of your reward for all that. It was you proving to yourself that you were healed and that you were ready for these adventures. And it turned out to be an amazing trip.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because, like, we booked the trip on November 10th. So I started my health protocol, like, during the summer after we had that trip. So I had no way of knowing, like, the trip to Stairway to the Stars was not, like, on our radar at all. Like, it literally, I was like, on November 2nd, I was like, I think we're supposed to go. I'm going to go buy tickets and airplane tickets, and we're flying to Las Vegas next week. And you were like, okay, whatever. And I remember I signed us up, and like I said, it was like uncomfortable, but I was like, I think I'm supposed to do this. And I remember that day that we were like getting on the airplane, that I pulled up my little Nomo app and I checked to see how many days it had been since I had started the gut protocol, and it was 111 days. And numbers are really significant for me. And I was like, okay, like, it just set my mind at ease. Okay, like, this is where I'm supposed to be going. And we were going for 11-11. So the fact that it was 111 days just doubly verified that for me. And then we're there, and, like, the first person that I met was Sarah Bressman. And I don't know why, but, like, I felt like I knew her before I met her. And then when we, like, met her there, it was like, this is amazing. Like, and we met all kinds of other people that, like, I really, you know, had connected with in this spiritual way. And it was just like an awesome, magical weekend. I remember, like, I looked for these little synchronicities, these breadcrumbs from your past, right? And when we got married, we went to Las Vegas for our honeymoon, and our honeymoon was in May. And for some reason on Facebook, I had posted all of our honeymoon pictures on November 11th, 11 years before that. So we were there, and I woke up on 11-11, and I pulled up my Facebook app, and I looked at the memories on that day, and it was full of our pictures of being in Vegas on our honeymoon. And that, again, just like felt like this reassurance that you're right where you're supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Because, I mean, there's no reason those pictures should have been posted on that day. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes zero sense.
But it doesn't matter. You know, we're not supposed to worry about the how things work. You know, you're just supposed to pay attention to these breadcrumbs. And it's these synchronicities, to me, suggest that, like you said, you are, you know, in the right place at the right time. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's confirmation. So,
absolutely.
So what happens after that?
So then we went to the retreat in January, and like you said, it was like full of magic and amazing. And I just really started following every intuitive nudge, period. So then I was doing some QHHT sessions, and I had multiple in a row that kind of had like the same theme, that they were talking about like the same things in their session. And one of those people afterwards was telling us about Joshua Tree and the Integratron and how like amazing it is. And we were like, okay, well, we'll have to look into this. And so I Googled it, and I found out that Contact in the Desert was happening, and that it was like an hour away from the Integratron. And they actually had a special workshop that was at the Integratron. And they were going to have the Crystal Skull there doing private readings. And Sarah Bressman was there. And so I told you then, I was like, I think we're supposed to go to Contact in the Desert. And you were like, okay. So signed us up for that. And then the next day was Mother's Day weekend. And on the 10th of May is when the Northern Lights showed up here in Florida. So all this stuff was like synchronicity, just like happening left and right all that year. And then the Northern Lights came. It was on Mother's Day weekend. And it just felt like so significant. And then the next morning after the Northern Lights, we were supposed to be going to a paddle event. And I woke up extra early and I did a Monroe Institute meditation, the three messages meditation. And that was the first time that I had the encounter with the blue beam. And they presented themselves as the Indian deities. And I remember it was like just so mind-blowing, like getting these messages that were so very visceral and like specific that I knew nothing about this culture or anything. It was so significant.
And yeah, then, so real quick, you allude to, you know, the first of your meetings with these blue beings. So obviously there's going to be more of these encounters, but this first one starts off, and I'll let you tell the story more in depth. But, you know, I remember you come to me and you're like, I had this vision of like, and you were describing them. You're like, you know, like the Hindu gods, you know, and we don't come from this world. We're not, either one of us are very religious, and we're definitely not, you know, Hindu. And so we kind of loosely know about these deities, but not clearly. And there was no reason why subconsciously or anything you would be projecting these. But you had this very profound vision with these blue, you know, the only way you could describe them was like these Hindu gods. So why don't you tell us more about that first encounter with the Hindu gods as they appeared?
It was like this just clear white room. There was a bench that was like the Forrest Gump bench. And I walked over to it. I sat down on it. And then I felt a presence to the left, and I looked over, and like it was kind of like a pan up kind of a moment. And there were like these shiny red shoes with like gold embellishment, and then these really pretty pants. And then it like went up, and then it was like a bare chest, but like the chest was blue, and it had like a little vest or something like that on. And then whenever I got up to the face, it was actually an elephant. And I mean, obviously I recognized it, but like, I don't know anything about like what any of that, the symbology. And the face like turned from an elephant to a really beautiful woman, got to an elephant. And it felt like it was two beings in one, kind of a feeling. And then they came and sat down on the bench next to me. And they told me that they were going to work with me now. There's a lot of details in another interview that we did together. If you want to hear just like all the details of when it first happened on the YouTube channel. But it was a really significant thing. And then the third part of the message, Mary Magdalene came and she like floated down in front of me and like had this little urn with her, like this little jar with her. And she opened it and she put her finger inside and she put her finger on my third eye and she said, "You've been anointed." And then, like, the vision was over. But, like, I remember telling you about it and thinking, wow, man, this is just, I don't even know what's happening right now. Like, that imposter syndrome thing sneaks in, right? And you're like, why would these messages be coming to me? But then you just flow with it to it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, these are very specific encounters, so there's some meaning, you know, whether it's symbolic or what, there's obviously meaning here. And we find out, especially with the blue beings, that there is meaning, that this was just the first of many encounters, and that they did have a very specific purpose for coming into your life. Now, why don't you take us into the next encounter, and, you know, we'll start to see a clearer picture of what these blue beings are doing.
So then we went to Contact in the Desert and I had a reading with the Crystal Skull, and they told me, like, the Crystal Skull does a Reiki healing on you. And then it also does like a past life regression kind of a thing. And the past life regression that came up again was the same past life that continuously pops up that has to do with my Scandinavian background. It was, like, when she was describing it to me at the time, it was like I was watching a movie. Like, it was exactly like what I see whenever I go to the past life, but this was another person describing it to me, like third person. Super crazy. But so we went to the IntegraCon while we were there, and that was super duper magical. And I felt like there were some significant like expansion that happened there, like the vortex drinking the water there, like I don't know how to explain it beyond like I just felt so in tune with everything, like so
maybe something was activated at a deeper level, activated within you, you know, because I mean we did like a cellular rejuvenation, what they called a sonic healing there. We did the sound bath and the IntegraCon. And then, you know, all the other things that happened. I mean, we had the UFO encounter in Palm Springs. A lot of things happened that weekend that seemed to have been the reason we went. You know, whenever we got back home, it was like, okay, I think we went there to get activated. Because going to the IntegraCon, doing all the things we did, it was like the first time they'd ever done that kind of an experience there, where they hosted us on that private sort of retreat. We got the presentation from Eric Rankin. We did the sonic healing. We did the sound bath. You know, all the things that we did there just felt like, I mean, that place is made to, as a cellular rejuvenation, like a, you know, kind of human activation portal. And we got the full treatment, you know, and I felt it. We felt different when we left than when we got there.
Yeah, 100% for sure. So then when we got back home, less than 2 weeks later was when you were leaving to go to the Monroe Institute. And I remember right before you left, like, I think two nights, I was looking at my journals this morning, like, to verify all this. And I think that it was just a couple nights before you left to go. You had a dream with Jesus in it and the canvases. Mm. And you said that in the dream that, like, I looked really close to the canvas and I saw this, like, red thread. And I asked, what is that red thread? And,
I'll just tell the dream real quick in case anybody out there, I like people to tell their dreams because sometimes other people are like, I've had a similar dream. But anyways, this one blew my mind because I'm not religious. And you had already had your, you know, meetings with, you know, the blue beings, and Mary Magdalene visited you. So that's significant. But I'm very agnostic when it comes to any religious type stuff. So the last thing I expect to pop up in one of my dreams is Jesus, you know. And in this dream, it's so vivid. I mean, I can still remember it now. I'm at this market. It's kind of like a farmer's market with you. We're at this booth, and the guy sitting there is very obviously Jesus. I mean, he didn't have a name tag. He didn't say, I'm Jesus, but, you know, oh, it's a dream. And so it's like Santa, you know, it's kind of hard to miss. So we're sitting there, and he has these scrolls, these canvases rolled up in this basket, and he unrolls one of them, and it is this painting, you know, I would assume a painting, of all these UFOs in the sky. And they're all around, I believe, like the Sphinx and the pyramid, and is a sky full of UFOs on this, like, scroll that he rolled out. And I remember kind of being able to zoom in the dream, you know, and see very, very, very clearly. And I remember you pointing out, you're like, what is this? And correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but I remember you saying that, and Jesus, who's holding the scroll. And then at this point, I had zoomed in so I could see like the texture of the canvas and all the little fibers. And there was this red line, this red thread that was running horizontally through it. And I said, what is this? And Jesus, I guess I'll just say Jesus, because I mean, I don't know who else it would have been. I mean, that was the impression I had the entire time in the dream, that this was Jesus holding this scroll. And he said, that line is everything, or that means everything, something along those lines. Basically saying that this, in this very elaborate, very beautiful painting, there was this tiny, tiny microscopic, I mean, I had to like zoom in and to see it, there was this red line that ran horizontally through it. And whenever I noticed it, because it was out of place, because it was the only thing red in the picture, his response was, that line is everything. And I thought that was very significant because it was a very detailed dream. You know, we have UFOs, we have the pyramids, we have Jesus, and we have this red line. And then you come to find out that this red line, this red thread, is very significant in a lot of these esoteric teachings. I didn't know anything about it. I'd never heard of anyone refer to the red line. But it starts coming up more and more in our life after that dream. So I thought that was very interesting.
So then right before, like the next night after that, I did the meditation again, the three messages meditation, and I had another visitation from one of the blue deities. So it was like this beautiful scene of like a pasture, and I looked out, like the sun was like really, really bright, and it was like claymation-y. Like it looked like like South Park-y kind of. Like it was very like clip art, like choppy, but like beautiful. And it was like the sun with the rays coming out, and then like the grass was really green. And then I looked over again to the left, and there was a cow sitting there. And I was like, well, that's pretty significant. Like, why would there be a cow sitting there? That's weird. And I remember specifically that it had like this little like sash of red flowers on the top of its head that like went between its two ears, kind of a thing. And then it had like these gold tassels that came down on either side. And I was just like, I remember the outlines on the nose and that kind of stuff. And it was just like this really beautiful cow sitting in this field. And then this like staircase started forming, like there was this pop kind of a sound, and then the staircase started like unraveling, like right in front of me, made out of like vines and this kind of stuff. And I think it's Kali, the war goddess, like came like stomping down the stairs, and like there was a lot of fear in me, and I was like, oh crap, like what's about to happen? And she like got right in my face, and she like stuck her tongue out. She's like, and then she like started walking off and kind of like laughing, and then she like looked over her shoulder, and she was like, just keep following that red thread. And I was like, okay, like but what does that mean? And then I had like the third part was with the Bigfoot and trees and all that good stuff. And anyways, we ended up finding out that that whole series from that meditation was like me seeing everything that was going to happen for you at the Monroe Institute. Because like in the first part of the meditation, I saw Robert's house with the pool outside of it, but we thought that you were going to be staying at the Institute down at the lower part of the mountain. And then the dragon in the sky. And then the second part was with the cow. And then the third part was with the Yeti. And if you want to tell that part.
Yeah, so just to finish the cow part, so you had this vision of the cow, and you talked about how it had the kind of the red things dangling from his ears. And then when I'm at the Institute, they have a shirt that, and you didn't tell me about that. Like at no point did you tell me about that vision. And you told me about the Bigfoot, but you didn't tell me about that part. But you had written it down in your journal, and you had told all your friends. But a lot was going on at this time. We just got back from, you know, the desert, and I was just headed off to Virginia. But when I'm there, I'm like, okay, I need to get some shirts and stuff, you know, some gear. I'm at the Institute, right? Went down to the gift shop, and they had this shirt, which doesn't make any sense because I'm at the Monroe Institute, right? Everything at the Monroe Institute's about, you know, like sound and like, you know, astral traveling and all the amazing things we do at the Institute. And they had this shirt with a cow on it, just a big old cow. And that was all that was on the shirt. And the cow has these headphones on, and the headphones have this like dangling cord, right? And so I bought the shirt because I thought it was unique. And I got back to the room, and I took a picture and sent it to you. And you're like, holy crap. And you're freaking out because that was basically what you had the vision of, was this cow with these dangling wire things coming out of his ears. But you didn't really know what sense to make of that. And then so in the shirt, he's wearing headphones, and he's got the wires dangling down. And it was very out of place. The shirt doesn't really make any sense. It doesn't match any other stuff. And I could have bought all these other shirts that were actually would make more sense for you, right? Like they had prettier shirts and that kind of stuff. But I bought that one because it was so out of place. And turns out it was almost identical to the vision you had just, you know, a few days before.
Yeah.
So I thought that was
like so significant to me, like, because I always second guess my like intuition and that kind of stuff. I think we all do, right? But like, I'm super tuned in. I'm getting all these messages and I'm still questioning everything. Like, is that an actual sign? I need a signing or sign. And like the message directly with that one was quit questioning yourself. Like you cannot explain this one away. Like there is no explanation for this beyond that you saw it and then it happened.
You did a QHHT session, and one of your questions was for your higher self, and one of your direct questions was, what was the deal with the cow? And they told you that, right? That
yeah.
It was done on purpose to prove to you so that you would quit questioning yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then the next part of your vision was, this is so wild, but like you were kind of sort of remote viewing from an aerial point of view at the Institute. And, you know, you you like to make sure I'm safe. You know, you have a little PTSD, I'm sure, from all the trauma that I've inflicted on you, rightfully so. And you were like, okay, I want to kind of check in on Jordan. And you saw this bird's eye view and of me at the Institute. But like you said, I wasn't staying at the actual Institute like we thought. I was actually up at Bob's house or whatever they call it, you know, which is much cooler. I'm so happy that we stayed there, but I didn't expect to be staying there. But that's what you saw when you viewed it. And you saw, like, your eye went off to the edge of the forest and there was a Bigfoot, right? And you kind of made eye contact with him and you're like, oh, hi. And didn't he say, you can call me Yeti, right?
Yeah.
And he was kind of happy and he seemed like
Bigfoot. And he said, Yeti's cool too.
Yeah. And he kind of retreated into the woods, but you got the impression that he was there as a protector or some sort of security, sort of, right? And I know this sounds crazy to everyone listening out there, but when we were there at the Monroe Institute, we are on the top of this mountain. It's the middle of the night. We're stargazing with Ryan Bledsoe and the whole team calling in orbs, doing all these wild paranormal things. We had already had visitations in our rooms by deities and entities, and we had all sorts of really, really weird paranormal things happen. And it's pitch black. We're by the crystal up on top of this mountain, sky watching, and a couple of the guys in our group start walking to the edge of the forest. And I mean, it's black. You can't, the only thing you can see is what the moon is illuminating. And we're like, it was Marco and Sean. And we're like, where are they going? But we're staring up at the sky. So everyone's just, you know, there's orbs and everything. And we're just kind of distracting. So we're all staring at the sky, but we see them walk away. And then they come back a little bit later. And we're like, where'd y'all go? What were y'all doing down there? Because you can't see anything. It's pitch black. Like, why would y'all go down there? They said that they were sort of pulled there by these red eyes. And that there was these, they said that they could tell that it was about a 7-foot figure because it was blocking out, it was a silhouette, and it was kind of blocking out the moonlit leaves, right? So you can kind of see the shadowy figure, and that it had these bright red eyes. And that they didn't feel scared, but they also didn't feel like they could walk away from it, like they were sort of stuck. And they come back and tell us, and they're only like 20 feet away, so it's not like they went way off. So we're all like, that's cool. You know, and we're just staring at the sky. And like, when I thought back on it, I was like, man, we were such in this like altered state of consciousness. Like nobody there was in their right mind. And, but at the same time, nothing felt harmful. It's like, you can pick up the vibes. Like if you meet a angry dog, you can get the vibe. Oh, that dog's not the one you want to pet. Right. So we're intuitive and we can kind of tell if something's good or bad. Right. No one had any bad feelings. And, whatever it was, they described it as a 7-foot tall, human type being with glowing red eyes in the almost the exact same place that you saw the Yeti in your vision, right? And that was that night that we had visitations in all of our rooms that nobody could sleep, and you know, it was a really wild night, and it felt like that Yeti was there to protect us, that it was some sort of a security guard for the mountain. Come to find out all sorts of other things about the mountain afterwards, but it is so significant that you saw it beforehand. And that all these people that were there with me can verify all of this stuff. And this happened. This was a real thing. There was something in the woods watching us. It had glowing red eyes. I'm pretty sure it was the Bigfoot that you saw. And that's just wild.
Again, one of those things where like every part of that meditation that was a Monroe Institute meditation that I did before you went to the Monroe Institute, like again, was like, quit questioning, just believe and trust and like follow these nudges, you know? And that's really what it felt like. So then
I also real quick, also like so many people have these things happen and then they don't say anything. And I understand because I'm sure people are listening to this right now and being like, okay, well, Sarah and Jordan obviously are insane, but these things have happened. They're verifiable. And I come to find out that's not even the craziest stuff that happens there. I mean, there's so many more wild, unexplainable things that happen. So, and then the more I've been vocal about our experiences and stuff, what I come to find out is so many people reach out and they'll be like, oh my God, that happened to me too. Or check out this if you think that's crazy. And so I'm like, oh my God, this stuff's happening to everybody constantly, always has been, but people don't share it, understandably, because they don't want to sound crazy. But I really think that if more people talk about this stuff, it encourages more people to share their stories. And then you do realize, oh, you're not crazy. This is normal. This is part of nature. It's part of life. There's so much that we don't understand about reality and about our world, and that we need to talk about this stuff. Because the more you talk about it, it's therapeutic for yourself, but it also allows other people to share their story.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like you went to the Monroe Institute, and then when you got home, it was the end of June. And I remember I saw Sarah Bressman put out her quantum healing self-hypnosis course. And I was like, got to get that, right? Because I'm doing all this self-healing. I'm doing all these, you know, different techniques and everything really focused on. So I was like, I haven't tried self-hypnosis before. So I'll sign up for this. And I remember there's a meditation in it that like is to connect you to your physical body to hear the messages that your body is trying to deliver to you that you may not be hearing in your day-to-day life. And when I did that, that was the first time that the blue being showed themselves like as alien form, not as like any kind of a something that I would be more comfortable with, right? And so I like did this meditation, and essentially they told me that I needed to cut out my fat. I had gotten some news with my blood panels a few months before that like I had some sugar insulin resistance. So I had gone on low sugar, high fat diet, a keto diet, which is great. But for me and my physical vessel and my background, it's not great. So my blue beings told me that I needed to reduce my fat intake, increase my vegetable intake, and like take it easy kind of a thing. And then like a couple nights later, I had a gallbladder attack. And then it all made sense as to why they told me back in May that they were going to start working with me, why this message had come through that I needed to reduce my fat intake. Like, it all made sense, right? It was like working up to and how my blue beings could like physically help me to heal without scaring me, right?
And also how they gave you exact information, because when they told you to reduce your fat intake and to start eating, didn't they give you like specific herbs and different things that you were supposed to be taking in addition to changing your diet?
To cut out the fats and all that kind of stuff. The next time that I did a meditation after I had had the gallbladder attack is when they told me specifically what herbs. There were 5 herbs that they gave me a list of. They like walked me through this garden and like directly showed me like what the herb looks like in its flowering form and its growing form and its root form, and like telepathically told me 5 herbs that I needed to start taking. And I don't know much about herbs, so I have my friend Kathy. I instantly got up from meditation and sent her a message, and I was like, hey, they told me to take these 5 things, like, do you know these 5 things? And she was like, yes, and all of them are for liver and gallbladder support, which is like the same system. So it was just really mind-blowing. But that was through that self-hypnosis, like daily self-hypnosis. So like just continuing to add tools to the toolbox, like never saying I've learned all that I need to learn, just continuing to follow those nudges and saying, oh, well, maybe I'll go ahead and sign up for that course. And like, I didn't have like a physical thing that I was aiming at. I just was like, overall health. And then come to find out, oh, I do have something that I needed to be physically like aiming, right? And I have a gallbladder.
But you had to open the line of communication for them, because we find out that they're not physical. So you had to have a non-physical portal for them to get this information to you. And you were doing the daily self-hypnosis, and you didn't expect to get this message. You were just kind of saying, okay, I'm just going to do this to see what message comes through. And good thing you did, because they had to have that portal to be able to get you this information. And it was very timely, because they established contact with you. Then the second meeting, it sounds like they were warning you. They were saying, okay, you know, stop eating this heavy, high-fat meat. Shift to, they told you, fish and vegetables and low-fat meat, and you know, just really kind of shift your way of eating. They told you this, so that was very significant. And then you had the gallbladder attack, and good thing you had shifted the way you're eating, because I think it really reduced the severity of it, even though it was very severe and scary. And then afterwards, they come and visit you again and tell you about the healing herbs that you need to take, which you didn't even know about these herbs, so it's not like you subconsciously told yourself this. And all of them were verified by your friend who's a nurse, who said yes, and she's a homeopathic nurse, so she knows about all the stuff, and she said yes, all of those things are exactly what you need to be taking. And that they were shown to you in great detail. So these aren't random events. Like, this was coordinated. And the only way you got this information is because you were listening and you had connected. You know, it's like they're trying to call us, but we're not picking up the phone. But you were answering.
Yeah. But that is, again, like, through, I think that, like, the message that they sent me with the cow shirt and, like, telling me to quit questioning my intuition, and the message, like, from the owl and it landing right in front of me and, like, telling me, just do the things that you feel intuitively drawn to do. Those are the things you're supposed, like, that is the path, right? So.
Yeah, it sounds like the path is be in touch with your non-physical, the spirit side. And when you get the information, take physical action, you know, because we are here in the physical world, but we're not only here in the physical world. We have these connections to the spirit side, but we still have to take that and turn it into physical action here. You had to change your diet, which you did. You had to go get those herbs and supplements, which you did. You had to make actual physical changes in your physical life based on the non-physical information you were getting. So it's a teamwork thing. You know, you found out that you have this team of these beings that are helping you, but you still have to do the work in the end. They're not just going to come and magically heal you. They're just going to give you the information that you need to do it yourself.
Yep.
And that's very empowering, because a lot of people just want a quick fix. They're like, just heal me. It's like, well, we're here to learn. We're here to do the work, you know? So ultimately it's up to you, but we do have helpers. We do have guides, and there are others out there that you have this, like, dream team of beings that you can tap into and get resources and information. You know, but you still, at the end of the day, have to do the work.
And just remembering, like, how important, like, even just gratitude through all of the hard stuff, you know, is so important.
Yeah. I mean, just stay positive, because, like, it's like a storm. You know, we live at the beach. How many hurricanes have we been through? So many. We've had to evacuate. We've had to hunker down. We've had to do all these things. But what happens after every hurricane? Right? What do we do after every hurricane or tropical storm?
Rebuild.
Well, we go down to the beach. We go to the beach, and what happens at the beach? We always talk about this. Every time there's a nasty storm, it's always
beautiful sunset. It's always a beautiful day.
Almost always the best sunset we've seen is always after, like, nasty storms and hurricanes. I mean, it's just that kind of a reminder from nature that, like, as long as you weather the storm and you stay positive, you know, there's always this like reward for it, you know? So, and that's what life does, is it kind of beats you down on purpose to teach you a lesson, or so you can learn something from it, and then it rewards you afterwards. But you have to stay positive, and you have to stay consistent, you know. And the more you do that, you start looking for things, and you start building this confidence, because you're like, okay, the more of these storms you survive, then you're like, okay, I know that the next one's not going to kill me. It's just going to test me, you know. And that's okay. We're here to be tested, you know. It makes you stronger. But you have to stay positive, and that's what you've done through all of this. And look for the gratitude. Like, you know, it's so easy to, like, just look at the negative things, you know, but if you look for only a negative, you'll start finding more and more, and you'll reinforce that. Oh, see, there's negative. And, you know, of course, you can always find bad things. If you start looking, you, like, kind of reprogram your brain to look for the positive things, then you'll start noticing more positive, and then you'll start attracting more of that. So that's been a pretty magical adventure, Sarah. And through all this, you know, you have uncovered these abilities, that you do have this mediumship ability. You can connect with the other side. You can receive and deliver messages. You know, you have been trained in hypnosis, and you can, you know, take people to past lives. You can connect them to their higher selves. You know, you have developed your own system by using crystals to do this as well. So, you know, if there's any other parts of the journey that you want to tell us about, or if you want to tell us kind of what you're up to now, you know, where you're at in your current life.
Now I'm just, like, continuing the adventure, right? Now I feel like it's my place to help others to really see these things that, like, don't seem really significant, that do add up to big changes, right? So, like, the daily gratitude, the connecting to the higher self, the receiving the messages, the quieting your mind. So, yeah, I mean, offering past life regression has been a big thing for me. I love taking people through it. I love helping people to access their higher self and get these messages directly, like, no BS, you know, like, here's your answers kind of a thing. I'm really looking forward to bringing my course out soon so that other people can have their own way to use this and access it and get those messages without having to have someone guide them through it. Because this isn't like, you have to be trained, right? But it's an intuitive thing that we all have inside of us. So like, just taking the time to actually put tools in place and learning to use them so that you can receive your own messages. But, you know, until then, I'm here to help you to get those messages.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that? And also, what sort of these services do you provide for other people? Because I know a lot of people reach out to you with tons of questions and, you know, how can they connect to their higher self? How can they go to past life, you know, and explore past lives, you know? How can they heal? These kinds of things. So what are the best ways that you have found to do this and to help other people if they wanted to contact you?
Probably Instagram. I'm also on TikTok and on X. You can find me through links below. But yeah,
You do this online? I know you do it in person. If somebody's not in person, do you provide any of this online?
It's not QHHT because Dolores did not support that, but I do offer a past life regression that is an online via Zoom.
Yeah, it's so cool because what we found out through this is that, you know, all hypnosis is essentially self-hypnosis, but it really, really helps to have a guide. It helps to have a trained person guide you through the process. And then especially whenever you're doing past life regression and higher self, you're kind of out of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point, is you're taken into this trance-like state. So you need someone to guide you through and ask the right questions and ask the questions that you, because when you do the higher self thing, don't the people come in with like the questions that they sort of formulate? Like, they're like, here's my questions I want to ask my higher self. But yeah, it takes someone like you to actually ask the questions, because at that point they're kind of out of, they're in a, like a dream-like state. Yeah. So it's pretty neat the way that works.
So yeah, when you do a past life regression, we take you to a past life, and then we take you to your higher self, we take you to a few past lives, and then you go to your higher self, and in the higher self, like, section, you bring your own list of questions. So any of the questions that you've been, like, dying to know, you know, I asked a lot of, like, why did the owl shirt appear, you know, like, what are significant things to you? You can get these answers anytime you want, you know?
Yeah. It's like a search engine for your soul, right? You ask a question, you get an answer. And the answer is coming from you, which makes it even better, but it's not you the way you know yourself. It's the higher version of you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's such an amazing tool people can use for business. You can use it for manifesting, you use it for health, you can use it for relationships, you can use it for, you know, anything that you're just, like, for you, you had all these questions bugging you. You're like, what does it mean? What does this mean? You know, and you're able to ask these questions, and then you came out of it and you're like, oh, okay, now I know what that means. Now you can cross all these things off your list and stop questioning it. Stop worrying about it, you know?
So Move on to the next.
Yeah, it gives you that peace of mind as well.
So, yeah, absolutely.
That's huge. So thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing your amazing journey with us. And like we always like to do with Alive and Kicking is, you know, life is wild. We learn a lot of things. We have adventures, but we always want to bring it back home at the end. Like, what does this mean for us? How can we use this in our daily life? How can we integrate this and make ourselves a better person? So before you go, share just one parting message with the audience as far as what this means at like a personal level, all the things you've learned, like how can you incorporate this and what's your parting message for people?
To listen to your intuition. Like, we all have it. That anxiety is not anxiety, it is your intuition. So like, take the time to clear your mind and find the right tools for you to tune in and like actually get these messages, and it will make your life so much easier and like really awesome.
Awesome. Thanks so much. It sounds like the messages are coming one way or another. It's like when a phone's ringing. It's like you can either sit there and listen to it ring and be annoyed, or you can just answer it. And it kind of sounds like that's what you've done, is perfected the art of answering the phone instead of just letting it ring. I think most of us just have that ringing noise in our head and we're like, what is that? And it's like, well, someone's trying to get a message through to you. So it's time to answer it.
And I think that ringing is like what creates like anxiety, right? So.
Sounds like it. Well, you've shared a lot of helpful tips with everybody today, and I appreciate your time, Sarah. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alive Tribe, for listening in, and we'll catch you next week on our new episode. Bye, guys. Peace.